The Lord says, this conference is not coming to a conclusion. It has been an introduction. An introduction to where I want to take you. An introduction to how you can get there. This conference is not coming to a conclusion. It is my desire that my presence in this conference will continue with you, and that you will go forward from this point. This is not the end. For so many, this is a new beginning. Do not look at this as the conclusion. Look at this as a launching point for many of you into deeper realms of my presence and my spirit. Do not leave thinking, well, that was great. What a wonderful week. And then assume that I have finished. For I have not finished. I will continue to work in you if you will let me. But you must do those things that you have heard this week. If you do, you will experience great change. Do not see yourselves as isolated. This has been further training all this week. It has been further training. There are very, very few of you who really understand what has been happening. I am preparing to use you in ways that you've never been used, that you don't anticipate. I love you, but I grow weary of you continually looking down on yourself. Will you please stop it? Will you please capture my vision of you? You are not a loser, and you are not unusable. You've been here all this week, and I've been working in you continual preparation for what I want to do. Too many of you have allowed the world to define for you who you are, and what you can do. You need to spend time with me, with the Holy Spirit, with my Word, and in my presence to see that changed. Your perception of you needs to be changed. You do not understand the magnitude of what I am trying to do in your life. Do you realize there are very, very few conferences like these in the world? My desire is that they exist everywhere, but they don't. You need to understand this is very rare. But I am moving. Do not forget what my Son accomplished with only 12 apostles. Do not forget what I began with only 120 in that upper room. You need to see yourselves as equally usable as the 12 apostles, as the 70 who were sent out afterward, as the 120 in that upper room. You are the present day 120. And I will use you just like I used them if you will let me. There is much, much more that you are going to be taught about these things. That is coming in the future. But for now, do not see this conference as concluding. See it as a beginning in your life, says the Lord. Well, what we're going to do today is just kind of wrap things up. And each person who has ministered during the conference is going to just come up and share briefly. We're going to go in the order of those who spoke. First, we'll have Pastor Bronk come up, and then he will, pass it on and, have Brother Gary come up. Then Brother Gary will pass it on to Brother Elaine. And then Brother Elaine will pass it on to Sister Jamie. And then when Sister Jamie has finished, I will come back up and we'll just kind of go from there. So, Pastor Bronk, you have blessed us so much. You get one more chance.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Well, we want to say to Ruthie, we love you more. So, amen. I want to say thank you so much to Pastor Jim and to Kathy and to all of the leadership here and all of the elders and all the congregation as well for putting this conference on. It's just thank you, Jim. We really appreciate that. We really, really do. Amen. There was a point several months ago that Jim emailed Gary and I and said, pray with me, pray. I really want to know the mind of Christ. We're still in this COVID crisis. Does the Lord want to have this conference? And so we said, we're going to support you in prayer, but we know that you're going to be the one that makes that decision. And he made the right decision. These inconveniences were well worth it 10 times over. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. So, I do believe this. I really believe this. And this is not hype. This is not me even trying to encourage you. I believe revival is now. I believe the season of refreshing that Gary has shared from the book of Acts, I believe that season of refreshing has begun. We have not yet entered into the fullness of it, but it has begun in the earth. I believe it is something that has been prophesied by Smith Wigglesworth and many others that will last all the way up to the coming of Christ. I really believe this is the last revival. And so with that, I can say this. I believe this week, watching in my spirit, that we've gone to another level. We haven't had the miracles that we're going to see. There has, I'm sure, been miracles, people touched, people ministered to. But we have gone to another level, in so many different ways. The teaching, the ministry, all five people that the Lord has used, and you listening and drawing that, the message has been so pure. It's been a threefold cord that has been woven together. The messages have always been pure around here, but as we go further into revival, as we go further into this message, the mind of Christ, the worship has gone to another level. It's always been wonderful. It's always been pure, but it has been at another level, and the congregant worship, the congregational worship, it wasn't just up here, it was out there. So it has gone to another level. More prophecy this year. I think I counted 6, there may be 7 with this morning, different prophecies. Most every one of the speakers have been, the Holy Spirit's been very vocal, very vocal. So prophecy has been a very powerful part. The Holy Spirit spoke again this morning. I want to hear that. I want to read that. And as Jim said, that will be provided right after the conference. This has been pure gold. It has been wonderful. It has been leading the charge. Doesn't matter how many of us were here or how few was here. you, as the Holy Spirit said, you just can't go very few places. You can only go to very few places in the earth and find this level of presence and this level of purity. With all that said, I want to say this. I hope and pray and believe with all my heart that next year's conference will not be anything like this year's conference. I believe and pray that we will be entered into what will already be a holy chaos that will be already resident in this place. Pastor Jim, when he, you know, he's very methodical, he makes sure that everybody is well taken care of. So he, you got the emails a couple of months in advance. Be prepared because of our state law to be, you know, to have to use mask in the service. I pray that next year his emails are something of this order, that be prepared. We want you to come. Please come, but be prepared. When you get here, you're not promised a seat. I'm serious. And I want your amens, but I want that. I want it to look like nothing we've seen before in the past. Be prepared. You may not get a seat in the sanctuary. You may not get a seat in the overflow downstairs. Be prepared if you're staying at a hotel that we've hired a shuttle to pick you up because our parking lot can't hold the cars. Revival is what we've come here for this year. But I pray this is it. I pray that through this, and the Holy Spirit said this morning, this is a preparing. This is, we're about to step over that threshold. So many different prophecies have been spoken by the Holy Spirit. I'm not going to try to read all of these, but and maybe just a paragraph or two. I don't know. I'll just make reference. I think that's what he wants. Paul said to Timothy, war with the prophecies that went before you. We're not supposed to just receive a prophecy and read it. Oh, that's nice. And we all appreciate it, everything we heard and everything that's been printed. But the way we war with prophecies is we turn them into confessions. We take them and what the Holy Spirit said. This is, it was amazing as the Holy Spirit was speaking through Pastor Jim this morning, and he was talking about, in essence, stop looking at yourself. That's the second time this week, there was another prophecy. Thank you, Joan, and the prayer center out there for all of you that have worked so diligently. Another time this week he said, and they entitled this, do not turn to yourself or to your weaknesses. Again, he said that this morning. So he's speaking to a caucus of people, speaking to some people to say, look, you're part of this, but in your worship, in your going forward, he reiterated again. He said it through a different person this morning, but he said so much of the same thing. You're going to have to see yourself, get to that place in that picture that Gary presented a couple of times this week where self falls off and you see yourself in that whited robe going into that presence. You are revivalist. You are his hope in the earth. You are next year's change of seeing something that we have never seen in this house before. He also said this the other night. I'll close with this, is he spoke about our worship and how powerful it was. And he said this, I will have to read this, at least a couple of paragraphs, not the prophecy. As you draw the sword of the Spirit and as you execute vengeance, much is being accomplished. Much of the harvest is dependent upon this, says the Spirit of the Lord. Much of the harvest is dependent upon this. So rejoice when you come together in these settings, knowing this, that not only are you having an effect upon the atmosphere of the present tense, but what exudes past these walls, these times, is what will come to the city and what will draw the masses, what will allow me to execute a power over them and set them free. The blinders will come off, and there will come a longing and an urge within their spirits to come to this place. Yes, even to this very location. But that is a specific, that's fantastic. Grace, Christian, this is for you. This is for all of us wherever you're watching. You can take these and turn them into your locale. But I can tell you, when you get a prophecy like this, you turn it into a confession. To this very location, and others will who seek me as well. I will magnetize them. I will place something within them as if there was a compass that begins to draw them nearer and nearer. Last paragraph. They will meet people. They will meet people twice and three times removed that will introduce them to another, that will introduce them to another, that will introduce them to another, that will introduce them to this place. And I will work a work among you that will amaze you, says the Spirit of the Lord. While you do these things that seem to be only for the moment, know that it goes way beyond the moment and the hour. So worship me in these things and understand my plan, not only for your life, but for this city, says the Spirit of the Lord. Hallelujah. I'll see you in the glory. Amen.
Well, if he had not have said what he said about the conference next year, that's exactly what I was going to say. I'm going to go one step farther. I always get that mixed up. The video that Jim used to open the conference, I pray in Immokalee, you don't have time to come to a conference here. I'm sorry. I mean, I'm not sorry either. I pray that here, what we saw on that video is so manifested here that there is no time for a conference like this. That in Tulsa, in Knoxville, in Mississippi, I'm thinking of the people in Ireland, I'm thinking of in Australia, in South Africa, that we literally take to heart, Georgia, literally take to heart what we've received and do, perhaps the most, well, that's all important. The fellowship is important. It is, this week is a revival in many ways. He has breathed strength, and a part of it is the fellowship. Because oftentimes, we're like, in Tulsa, we're blessed. I have so many friends that all believe the same way. But there's people here that are like, they're on an island. And they have nobody to, so it's a strengthening time, and we need that. But he's trying to strengthen us to the point that we can handle revival where we are. And I love, and I'm not saying we won't get together, we will. But one of these days, if the kind of harvest he has in mind is what we saw on that video, I doubt we'll have the time. For we better enjoy the, maroon typhoon. Better enjoy having a place to sit. Better enjoy having a parking spot. Better enjoy our little meetings at TGI Fridays or wherever. Because we got a world to save. Our Father's heart has not changed. As we leave the little fields that, we should continue our work. But this week has all been about, we need to spend time with our Father. We do that by all of the things that we're taught to where His heart beats in us. The only reason, really, the Lord has not already returned. He's waiting for the precious fruit of the earth. So everything we do, whether it's even the conference like this, everything we do ultimately is about souls, because that's what the kingdom is about. Amen. I pray that if, yes, I'm a key to, I pray we live in a different America. I don't want things to go back to the way we were. I don't want Hollywood left alone. I want to bother Hollywood by the Spirit of the Living God. I want to see I could name the actors, and you know, you would know. They were all the ones that have risen up and lent their voice to be voices for the devil. Just, there's no other way to say it. I want a revival in Hollywood. I want a revival in our politics. I could name, he's having me pray by name for people in the natural I wouldn't walk across the street to spit on. I mean, I don't even want to say their name. But he's having me intercede for their salvation. Because ultimately, revival is the only hope for America. You can change the laws, but unless you can change the hearts, America will not change. So, I started to say the tangible things that we take away the fellowship. I got to meet Scotty. I got to spend some time with Scotty. I've seen Scotty here for years, and I think that's the first time that we've ever had more than a "Hey, how you doing?" It's wonderful. God's got work for Scotty to do. God, I'm only 74. I know that because my mother tells me that all the time. She's 100. Perhaps the most important thing that we'll take away are those prophecies. Because when he speaks to us, just like Bronx said, we've got to war over that. We've got to make that. He's not speaking just to be speaking. He's speaking so we can change. So his Spirit can manifest through us so that America can change. And then really the whole world. I'm saying where your country, wherever you are. I will say this one last thing about, I got a Bible and everything up here. Glory to God. Oh, anyway. Oh, well, open up too. No. Does it work on this one too? It does. It's God. Okay. Hallelujah. A friend of mine who has started the journey into worship years before I really did, shared something with me that really located my heart again. And he's doing what Dave taught us to do, and maybe 3 hours into worship the way Dave taught to do it. And he said, boy, this 3 hours was exceedingly dry. Like, oh, not a kiss, not a brush of emotion. Three hours in. And he said, I actually said this out loud to God. Can't you just toss me a bone? See, I haven't had the courage to say that, but I've sure felt like saying that. And instantly, as soon as he said it, he heard back, oh, I thought your worship was to minister to me. So I wrote another little lesson this morning called Selfish Worship. We don't even realize yet how really change, even in us, must still happen. I made a vow to the Lord. I said, from this day forward, I am guilty. My worship, really, even though I would say I'm not here for blessing, we sing that song, I was. And he's not against us having blessing. But for crying out loud, to make worship about me, no wonder we're not yet walking in it. But I don't want to belittle us. Listen, what did he say? Don't take that and look down on yourself. Just learn. I made an adjustment. Trust me, from here on, whether I get a goosebump or not, my worship will be about ministering to him. To him.
Praise the Lord. Yeah, put that mask on. Ruthie is watching. There's an actual note here. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Lots of people are watching. We're so glad that you've joined us. This year, I think most of you know that I'm kind of the guy over the streaming and all that stuff. So I'm aware of what's going on, and I keep track of some analytics and stuff, just personal curiosity. And this year, we've had more viewership than any other year, but not just by, oh, well, it's the people who didn't come. It's significantly more than that. So I don't know who is all watching us. It'd be great if you emailed us on the Contact Us page to let us know where you're at. It'd be really neat for us to hear about that. It'd be an encouragement for us to know that, you know, it's happening all over the world, that people are connecting in. Because we already know that. We already know that we've got people, you know, in Canada and Ireland and so forth. But there's also South Korea, and there was Thailand and Japan and places like that where people were signing. We don't even know who these people are. But by some miracle, they understand what we say, so glory to Jesus. I opened my Bible, and I don't know why, because I don't need it. Praise the Lord. Habit, I guess. Revival is now. Isn't that awesome, right? And one of the things that we've been learning this week is the necessity of the worship, and really how that's going to usher us into the presence of the Lord, and how significantly important His presence is going to be to us in the season that we are in, that we find ourselves in now. And, you know, one of the things that had the Lord brought me that other way, the other message I was preparing was, there's another side to revival that we need to be prepared for, and that is the pushback from the enemy. So we rejoice in the fact that, hallelujah, we're going to have all these amazing things happen. And that we even acknowledge the fact that there are going to be some growing pains in terms of, well, this building isn't sufficient. You know, there's 1,000 of us squeezed in like sardines in this room. It's not conducive to what God wants to do. So there's that side of revival, but there's also the side of we have an enemy. He's a real enemy. He hates us. He's always hated us. And he certainly does not want to see revival come forth the way God is telling us it's coming. Because I think he knows it spells his end. I think there's a part of him that understands what hell really is for him, and he doesn't want to go there for all of eternity. And so he knows once revival comes, it's like, that's it. It's over. So there are more than just, you know, the good reasons in terms of all the things that we want to see come forth, you know, in terms of I want to push into the presence because of what it's going to provoke in the earth. But we need to be pushing into the presence of the Father because it's what's going to give us the strength and the grace to go through the hard times that are coming too. And I think the important thing for us to acknowledge is that we can't put our heads in the sand and ignore what's coming. There is going to be a pushback. When we read the scriptures, when we read even the book of Acts, the persecution that they went through, it wasn't easy. Like we read it, it's words on a page. But when you live it, it's a different story. And this is a sobering thing to think, I need to be ready for this. The awesome thing, and this is what's so beautiful, because I've been historically more of a timid person. You know, Jamie and I would joke that if ever, I would make the worst spy. I'd be the worst spy. Because they'd probably find me out really quickly, because this is my poker face. We know you're lying. And then they'd get me into a room and they just have to open the, you know, bring in a toolbox. And maybe this has got baked goods in there, but I wouldn't know. They just bring in a toolbox and I'll say, what do you want to know? I will tell you everything. I'd be a terrible spy. And the point I'm making in all this is there's been a timidity in me in terms of I've read what's happening, you know, Fox's Book of Martyrs. I've read some of that. Some guy gets filleted alive. That's terrible. I don't want that to be me. But here's the thing. If we're buried in the presence of God, there's nothing we can't do. You know, when Jesus was talking to Peter, he said, you know, there's a day coming when someone's going to lead you by the hand where you don't want to go, speaking of the manner of his death. You know, Peter was ready for that because he knew who he knew. Amen? And so this isn't about, you know, oh, you need to be afraid or whatever. It's actually an encouraging word in terms of, okay, it's coming. We need to prepare for it, but we will be if we continue on the path that we're on. Hallelujah. And, I mean, I'm not looking forward to reading about how this person has been martyred or that person has been martyred, the people that we know and love right now. I'm not looking forward to that But I'm going to rejoice in the fact that they've accomplished God's plan and purpose on the earth. Amen. So there's a war coming. And one of the things that I think people tend to forget, and Christians, and this is for Christians who are thinking, well, I'm just a civilian. I'm not part of the fivefold, and I'm not called to anything, or whatever they might think. I'm just a civilian. You look at any kind of conflict zone in the world ever, civilians are always involved, whether they wanted to be or not. I didn't want to have anything. I'm just a simple farmer. I had nothing to do with this war, but they destroyed my fields. They killed my wife. All my cattle are dead. I mean, they have to live through it. So if you think of yourself, well, I'm just a civilian, I won't get into the crossfire, you're deceiving yourself. You need to get ready. Amen? Never, ever is there a civilian who has not had to suffer through it. You know, one of the things is, even what we see in the natural, is that there are regimes, they target civilians. They target civilians because they know the demoralizing effect that it has on the military, on their foe. Well, Satan, he's our greatest foe. He's going to target you just because of how it might affect us. So you need to be ready, amen? Hallelujah, Jesus. Ephesians 6:11, which passage we know very well, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And we understand that wiles of the devil is talking about methodical, militaristic schemes. We know that our enemy has been studying humanity for generations, and he knows just which buttons to push, right? But we need to know how to put on this armor and use it effectively, and that's going to be learned in the presence. In 2 Corinthians 12:9, of course, Paul talks about the fact that when he asked the Lord, you know, deliver me from these oppressive things, from the messenger of Satan, deliver me from this, the response of the Lord was, my grace is sufficient for you. Where do you think Paul learned to operate in that sufficiency? It was the presence. The presence got him through it. I'm going to close with this, and that is, for at least the last several months, where the Lord has had me parked is 1 John 4:17 through 19. Again, passage we know very well. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear has torment. He that fears is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. And again, you know, Pastor Dave once shared, you know, if you ever wanted to pull a dipstick, a measuring stick, to see where you are in terms of your level of love or how much love you're operating in, just see how much fear is in operation in your life. And that would, you know, reveal just where you're at in terms of the love walk, the walk that that you have in God's love, that perfection of it. And that's where I believe that's part of what God is calling us to this week in terms of following Jesus into the presence of the Father. It isn't just so that he can make use of us as though we were tools, but it's so that he can fill us to the max with his love, because we're so precious to him. Amen? And that place of love, perfect love in him, is really what's going to carry us through to the very end, no matter what the enemy throws at us. No matter what happens. I mean, just read the book of Acts. You know, Paul breathing threats and murders and whatever, and it scatters all the people. They lived it. That was awful. It wasn't a pleasant experience for them. And yet, look at what happened as a result of them going forth in what Christ had purposed for them. Amen? Amen. Jamie, it's your turn.
Hey, I just want to encourage everyone today, don't grow weary in well-doing. It can be really easy to say, you know, you start and then you quit and then you start and then you quit and you start and you quit. And then you say, well, that's it. I'm throwing in the towel. Just keep coming back to the Lord. Just keep finding him. One time the Lord gave me this kind of this picture, because we talk about the secret place, or like you're hiding with Jesus, and some people think that it's like he wants to stay away from them. And that's not what it was. And what he showed me was like, okay, let's picture we have this two-year-old, and all you have to do is go like this and say, boo, and it's like they're surprised, right? And then this is what I saw. I saw God like standing like here, and the two-year-old's right there, like hiding in plain sight, you know, like on an edge. And it's like come and find, like hiding in plain sight. And oh, I'm here. And oh, yay, Lord. It's because God's not really he doesn't want to keep himself from us. He just wants us to take that step to find him. And so don't grow weary in well-doing, because he just wants us to be with him. And everything that has been talked about, you know, in terms of just being with him, it has to do with just the relationship. Like, we're one with him. Even the worship, everything, private worship, corporate worship, everything we do just really flows from that fellowship that we have with him, that we just love to be with him. And, you know, that we're one in him. In John 17, you don't have to turn there, I'll just read it. Jesus is praying and he says, verse 20, neither pray I for these alone, but he's praying for the disciples, but he's praying for us, but for all them also, which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me, and the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them. That's, he's given us his glory. That they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, and thou in me. That they may be made perfect in one. And that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. The Father loves us the way he loves Jesus. Father, I will that they also, this is Jesus' will, okay? He was the one that asked that we be seated in heavenly places with him. He said, Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be where I am. That they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me. For thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. We're in him. We're one in him. I mean, it's just amazing. He's hiding. Here I am. I'm right here. He's one with us. It's just so, it's so beautiful. So it's really about the fellowship, and then all the other things just happen from there. It's nothing we have to worry about. Just keep going back to him. I love this morning the word about stop beating yourself up. I think every one of us can use that at times, you know. And I want to end with this. Pastor Jim, I feel the Lord was saying this morning that he's so proud of you, and that you will see in your lifetime, not just like a faith thing, not like a, you've been believing for this and it doesn't matter if it's you, but that you will see with your actual eyes the things that you've been asking the Lord for. And that even when you've wondered, is this, do I have the right motive, Lord? You know, am I asking for things that, you know, with the right motive, that there's no pride? And he says, no, he sees your heart and it's pure. And you've asked with the right heart, and you are going to see it. And there's going to be things even beyond your imagination that he's going to do. And he's going to do that here. You're going to see it. It's not just like in the spirit. You're going to see it in the natural. So, amen.
I receive that. Praise God. Wow. I came in this morning, and I've been getting in every morning, getting here about, 7:30, just to be sure everything's ready to go. I'm walking around. I'm feeling this something floppy. I say, what's that? And I thought maybe I'm dragging a pant leg or something. And well, finally I stopped and I looked. The heel is coming off my shoe. I'm thinking, what's the deal with that? I can't believe it. I mean, these shoes are like brand new. I've only had them about, 15 or 20 years. What's going on? You know, I'd take them back, but the store is closed. Out of business, you know. Sell me bum shoes and then clothes. I can't believe this. There's been a lot of talk about, you know, the presence. My first experience with that, what we're talking about, was in March of 1997. I attended as my first conference there in Tulsa. I arrived at the service late. It was just a lot of things that happened where I ended up getting there a little bit late. And so I sat in the rear of the sanctuary. And as I was sitting there, I'd heard Pastor Dave, been listening, but back then it was cassette tapes, been listening to so much for months, but I'd never seen him. I didn't know what he looked like. Well, I get there, and I'm sitting in the rear of the sanctuary, then all of a sudden, the only thing I can, about the best way to describe it, it literally felt like some kind of a blanket had been completely draped over me. And it was so intense, I don't know, I can use the word fear, but I have to add the word holy to it. Holy fear. I felt that, and I remember these words in my mind, who is behind me? And I was kind of afraid to turn and look. You know, you have these things, you know, well, if Jesus ever walked in, I'd look right at him. But when you feel that, you know, there's something that you almost don't know what to do. You're kind of afraid because you know it's not the devil. Well, anyway, you know, I tried to be cool. And, you know, acted like I was stretching or scratching something to look to see. And it was Pastor Dave. He had walked out of his office and was just standing there behind me. And I thought, oh, wow. That was my introduction to presence. I know what it's like. And the thing is, that is not restricted to Pastor Dave. That is what God wants for every single one of us. And I'm not, you know, a lot of times you get in a service and you hear, yeah, preachers are saying things and that's preacher talk. No, this isn't preacher talk. This is the way it's supposed to be. We've been talking about that this conference is going to be known as a presence conference. Well, someone could come along and say, well, now, wait a minute. Didn't they have presence at Azusa Street? Well, they did. I mean, there were numerous reports of the glory of God showing up like a misty cloud, you know, 2-3 feet off the ground. Little kids would like lay down in it and play, and so, which sounds, you know, sacrilegious, but I don't think God got offended. You know, nobody died. The point I'm making is, it happened, and so somebody could say, well, they had presence then, but, you know, that revival, it fizzled out. True. However, there is a difference. You see, this revival will be known as presence, but it's going to be balanced with doctrine. Amen. Correct doctrine. And that is a key, an absolute key to this happening and sustaining. We've heard so much about the worship, and really the worship this year, every year the conferences, the worship has been really good. But there was like an added element or added dimension or a higher level, however you want to describe it, this year. Every service, there was something. I don't like to use the word better because that sounds kind of demeaning to past conferences and their worship. But it was like another level. And it was just outstanding. The truth is, there were some services to where we just could have been here for hours. But the Lord is leading us in that direction. You don't just do it because you think you can. You do it as the Lord leads. He's preparing us. We are maturing into that level. Well, turn over to Hebrews chapter 2. There's something I want to share with you. We've been talking about the worship and how the worship is so vital and so critical and so important, and many references have been made to the teachings that Pastor Dave delivered to us concerning worship. But here's something that maybe some of you don't know. Pastor Dave spent, I have no idea how many years, praying in tongues until the Lord got that revelation of worship over to him. And once he received that revelation, well, then he began worshiping. And as he began worshiping, he then experienced what God had in preparation for him. Now, the reason I'm saying that is because we don't have to spend years praying in tongues to receive that revelation. We do not have to plow that field. It's already been plowed for us. And now we can eat of the fruit. We just take that revelation that we've received without all those years of praying in tongues, and we do it. And as we do it, the change begins to take place. In Hebrews chapter 2, just look at one verse. Therefore, verse 1, therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. As far as this conference is concerned, we need to take earnest heed, give earnest heed to the things that we've heard, lest we let them slip. Now, this is a warning in love to the church concerning you've heard things, but if you do not give the more earnest heed to them, they will slip. That's what God is saying here. I look back over the years of the conferences and how many sermons and prophecies and so forth. How much have I let slip over the years? I have to admit some, but I'm not even sure how much I've let slip. But I know this, I haven't let it all slip. I have continued to press in. But this phrase, let them slip, it comes from a Greek word, and I guess if I want to follow the order of the conference, I have to give you the Strong's number. It's the New Testament Greek number 3901. And it's the Greek word parareo. It's a compound word. Para meaning by or past and beyond. The word reo means to flow. And part of the image, the Greek language and the Hebrew language are very image-based languages, not Webster's dictionary-based languages. And so the image that this presents is as a ship floating or drifting past something. And it gives the image of a river, you know, flowing past a stationary point. And figuratively, it's presenting the image of something that is slipping away, suggesting a gradual and almost unnoticed movement past a certain point. The point we're at right now, relative to the conference, is everything that we've heard. If we do not give them, that phrase, give them more earnest heed, means you set your face like a flint and you dig into it. You focus on it. You do not let yourself get distracted. It becomes a goal in your life. And so relative to the conference, if we do not give the more earnest heed to these things that we've heard, God is saying, you're going to let this slip. It will slip. There are various Greek experts who have presented different images of this, such as to glide away, to swerve or deviate from something, such as the truth, law, or precepts. It is it's the equivalent of a Greek word parapepto, and it means to fall aside. And what's interesting is that this word appears only one time in the New Testament, and it's right here in Hebrews 2:1. And it's used, and I don't understand all the Greek tenses, but it's used in an absolute sense, meaning this is a reality and it will happen. If you do not give earnest heed to what you've heard, these things will slip. You will gradually drift away from them, and they will not have that impact in your life. And I've seen this over the years. People that have attended the conferences in Tulsa 10, 15, 20 years, and nothing's really changed in their lives. They talk about doing the message. And I remember one time, I don't know how many years ago it was, but Sue Carpenter, Brother Gary's wife, she went around to some people at a conference asking, now these are people who have been around for a while, asking them, what does it mean to do the message? They couldn't answer her. They didn't know. They just had grabbed a hold of a phrase, do the message. But they could not explain what that means. Well, summarize it. Prayer, fasting, worship, and the Word. All right? They couldn't even do that. They didn't know. It was just a catchphrase. So it was the thing to say. So after all those years, those folks had not been doing the message. They couldn't even tell you what it was and what it is. They let them slip. We can't do that. As, you know, when Brother Gary was up here talking about, yeah, we want to have a great conference, but sure hope that by next year, what we saw in that video is happening in Immokalee, in Tulsa, in Dayton, you know, Arizona, Georgia, Ireland, you name it, that it's happening to where we really can't come back together to have a conference. Well, I have mixed emotions about that because, I mean, yeah, I want to see that, but I want to see you guys too. But that's true. However, and this morning, the Lord was ministering to me about that very issue. And one of the things that He brought up is the fact that throughout the world, we want to see this revival, but just the masses coming to be born again, that's not enough. Because Jesus gave an instruction, I'll summarize it in Matthew 28. He said, go out, tell them about me, tell them how to get born again, then teach them. Disciple them. Now folks, there's something we need to understand. Not everybody out there who's believing for revival is ready to disciple. They're not at a place scripturally to be able to disciple. One of the things that has been said in, quote, revivals over the years is, you know, to the new converts, people that just get born again in the service, and they're told, now you need to go find a good Bible-believing church. How do they know what that means? I mean, you walk into any church and ask, do you believe the Bible? They go, well, yeah, sure we do. Yeah. Do you preach the Bible? Absolutely we preach the Bible. How do you know? Yeah. And what that means is, there's a small group of people who attended this conference. Now, others would have attended if they could. But there's a, let's just say that this room was filled to capacity. I mean, totally filled to capacity. And then the number of people who have attended the conferences in Tulsa. And I mean the folks that have done what they've heard. Not just the vacationers. And then the people that attend Pastor Bronx Church. Okay, you understand that's a very small number of people. Do you realize, and again, this is not for sensationalism, I mean this. Do you realize we may be the ones that God needs to send out throughout the world to disciple the revival converts? I'm talking every single one of you in here. Do you understand that? If you do not capture that vision, you are missing God. This is your responsibility to be ready. Well, Pastor Jim, you know, you've gone to other countries. How can I possibly do this? In other words, one person can't do it. Every one of you in here, this is you. And the best thing you could say is, you know, here am I, Lord, send me. And now, what that requires, though, is giving earnest heed to the things we've heard. Not just this conference, but all those teachings that we've heard from Brother Gary and Pastor Dave and others there at the prayer center and Pastor Bronk, the teachings here. We have to feast on these things. We cannot allow ourselves to be distracted. And we have to press into God. Do you realize there are so few churches on earth where these kind of things are taught? And there, I mean, I can't tell you how many times I've heard people comment about, like at the prayer center or Pastor Bronk or here, you know, I've never heard teaching like this. Well, I've never heard it like this. Well, it isn't that we're some sort of special something. In other words, it isn't that others can't get in on this. I mean, they can. This is available to everybody. Guys, do you realize it's possible that right now, God's plan for your life may be to send you to Germany, to send you to China, to send you to Saudi Arabia, to send you, I don't know where. That means you may someday wave goodbye to your family, not that you're going to die, but that God is saying, I need you over there in the Philippines. I need you to help disciple the 30,000 new converts over there. You need to help train up teachers. You need to teach the pastors that are rising up. All of you in here. And for some of you, the ladies, some of these countries, you're not going to be able to minister to the women. You ladies are going to have to go and minister to the women in these countries. That's where we are right now. This is a time of major preparation for every single one of us. And you may be thinking, well, yeah, but you know, I mean, I've got this job over here. You have this job over here for now. And that can change in a heartbeat. Listen, if God says, you're ready, and I want you to go over there to Thailand and help disciple, help teach, He's going to make the way. Somehow, He's going to make the way. So I'm not trying to be dramatic. What I'm trying to do is point all this out. He might want you to go to Idaho. I don't know. The point I'm getting at is there aren't that many people out there who can go and disciple these things. There just aren't. We need each other. Now, assuming this doesn't happen by next year, if I were you, I'm serious, if it works out that we have a conference, I really encourage you to try to be here for this continuing education, to continue what's going on. As I was driving out here on East Patterson before I got to the church, the Lord was sharing with me how that this week, and I didn't fully get the right word until I was sitting here in the pew a little bit during the praise and worship or at some point, but what He's done this week, He has downloaded into us a zip file. How many of you know what a zip file is? That's like information you download, a file you download from the internet, and it's just this like little file, but it's got, you know, just a massive amount of information in it. This week, God has downloaded a zip file into our spirit. And now our responsibility is to get with Him so that zip file can be opened and everything that has been deposited is going to be released on the inside of us. And we have no idea everything that's in that zip file. We know what we've heard this week, but that was just part of the zip file. Take this conference with you. Take this conference with you and continue in what has begun. And glory to God, I'm looking forward to this. Can you imagine if we keep pressing into God between now and next year, how much further along we'll be in God and what the conference will be like a year from now. Glory to God, our new facility. That seriously, our new facility that I am believing God for. Jamie, I'm going to ask you to please come up and at least one song. And then I'll just come back up and we'll just do something. Why don't you go ahead and stand? I know what you're thinking. What do we do now? Let's be honest. What do we do next? We're learning. We're learning. And the grace of God is such to where He takes us by the hand and He leads us into these dimensions of His presence where we've never been. And we're learning. We're learning more and more on what to do in His presence. A thought that is probably crossing most of your minds is, how do you end something like this? I mean, you don't. You don't. I mean, literally, we could just stay here. So, I'm just going to say, thank you. All the glory to Jesus. If you just want to hang around here in the sanctuary, do it. But I look forward to seeing you again whenever that is. We love you.